Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
And what's up, everybody? I hope you all are having an amazing day and week and all the above. You all, I'm so excited for today's episode because we have an amazing human, Rochelle Dennis, who is the co-founder of Essences Girls United, which is an amazing vertical channel own branch on its own because they do so much more than provide resources and amazing content for Gen Z millennial women, but they're truly just changing the media landscape overall, from the GU Summit to just all the amazing resources they provide. And Rochelle really breaks it down on how it came to be, their inspiration. And if you're not following them on Instagram, they have the best caption. So if you want to learn more about Essences GU, Rochelle's start in the business, and if Beyonce will show up to the Essence Fest this year, because I think she is, this episode for you. So let's get into today's episode. And Rochelle, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. Before we get started, I want to know, what shows were you watching 20 years ago where you felt seen like, oh, that's that's her, or like that's them that I feel represented?
Yeah, so I think 20 years ago, I was watching, and something that I really was big on was actually watching gymnastics videos. Okay. So I would go on YouTube and I would research, and this is also how I learned about like my competitive nature and just how like, you know, just how like I really love to just understand like the lay of the land is, you know, I was a young girl, I was a gymnast. And so I would search all the people that I was competing against. And so I knew every girl's score. I knew what gym she went to. I knew what her best events were, what her strongest events were. And I think that really just gave me like an understanding of like, like even in the world now, right, working in the world of like how important it is to do your research and know, you know, what's out there, know who you're competing against, know who, you know, you're, know what you're up against, like what's out there. So that was something that I used to watch, like YouTube. I used to pause and like replay things. I used to like learn and teach myself how to like do these skills as well. So I really wasn't that much of a TV person, to be honest. So it was like really like YouTube and just, you know, me just trying to learn as much as possible.
We love a rebel. No, I was, I'm a YouTube person too. And I feel like gymnastics, like back, like it was just fire, just so fire. Like so many good ones, like to look at. We had like Michelle Kwan with the ice skating. Like there's so many just like on top of it.
Dominique Dawes, like watching like the Olympics for me was like, that was my like my thing. Like I loved watching the Olympics. I loved watching any sort of sports. You know, of course there was a little Nickelodeon and Disney Channel in there. I wasn't completely like, you know, out of it, but you know, those were the main things that I really like watched and like really, you know, found myself being drawn to.
Okay, wait, you said Nickelodeon, Disney. Wait, do you have a favorite DCOM, Disney Channel original movie? We were talking about this the other day, and now I'm like, I need to know. I've heard Twitches, I've heard Gotta Kick It Up, I've heard Halloween Town.
Yeah. Oh, Halloween Town was my I loved Halloween Town. Halloween actually was my favorite holiday because I loved the 30 days of Halloween. So that was my thing. Like every single night I would watch it, scare myself to sleep. Don't Look Under the Bed was one of my favorite ones.
That was a good one.
And then there were a couple of like cheer ones as well, like that were really good as that I really liked because it was kind of similar to gymnastics, but not really. But those, Disney had it on lock.
Listen.
The content in the day was...
They had us fed.
You're not watching Disney Channel.
Yeah, yes. I still did that little one thing where I'm like, do, 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 do. I'm Zendaya and you're watching Disney Channel.
Disney Channel.
Speaking of just like people inspired you, what woman in your life like really were like your role models?
Yeah, so it's funny because everybody is like, oh, like role models and, oh, you know, you have to be a good role model. I think role models, very lucky and fortunate for me. I think it started like with my mom. And quite honestly, I've never really looked up to anybody else. I think that also was something that I was taught as well. Because at the end of the day, you don't know what these people are actually like behind closed doors. And is it fair for us to put or not even just pressure, but is it fair for us to have people that are like these celebrities as role models when essentially I don't know what this person actually is like? You know, does this person actually live how they say that they're living? So I think a role model definitely starts in the home, and I was very lucky to have my mom as that. And so I don't think I've really looked at anybody else as role models. I think that there's definitely some people that I've idolized and some people that, you know, I extend so much grace and love to because of the fact that I think they're doing incredible things. But I don't think I really like believe in like role models outside of the home.
That's interesting. I like that, but no, I get that. I feel that because it is true. It's like, we'll see like certain actresses or actors and be like, oh, that's them. That's a diva. Yeah. And it's like, do we really know what they...
Yeah, she ain't a diva.
That'll be another show where we expose those that aren't real divas. But before I get into everything that Essence G is up to and all that, I want to know, what was like your first role, like introduction into the media publishing space? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think we as a society have really discounted the importance of media and why media is so important, you know, from the way that we think to the way that we dress, the way that we, you know, wear our hair has all been shaped in some way by media, right? Like even like us talking about Disney Channel, like the fact that there's so many things that just really signify like this moment in time. You know, that we're able to connect to and draw connection to is right media that we like see every single day when we were growing up. So, you know, for me, that was like really like the introduction. I think being out in the world and just being able to like look at things from a critical lens and not just looking and taking things for what it is. But, you know, media is something that has so much power. It's had the ability to wage wars. It has had the ability to, you know, spread, whether it be propaganda. That actually was like one of my favorite classes, you know, in school back at UCLA was my propaganda and media class was something that to me was something so important and something so simple that we discount it every single day. Like every single day we're being fed something or we're looking at something or we're, you know, taught something. And that's shaped by media, and that starts from a really early age. You know, Nickelodeon, you know, all the great media that we've been exposed to as kids, 106 in Park.
Yes.
and so, you know, so it really is like something that you just grow with. And then I was also had the ability to really fully understand media, I think even in a real life experience, you know, back when I was on the UCLA gymnastics team and what we were able to do and accomplish within that time was we were able to become one of like the most followed women's collegiate programs. Like we had more followers than like our football team and our basketball team, you know? And so every single day, right, we were creating content in the gym. We had an amazing videographer. Her name was Deanna Hung. And she just like would capture everything. and we would put it online. And so people were actually able to build an affinity for our gymnastics team because of the fact that, you know, we really utilized media to our advantage. And, you know, we used it to get people to come to our gymnastics competitions. You know, we were on campus, like, holding signs up and, you know, we were doing all of these things to get people to come to our competitions. And essentially that product was the sport of gymnastics and selling that. But it really was hooking people on everything that came with that, you know, from how our practices look, you know, what they felt like, getting a feel for each girl's personality. And so it definitely has been something that has been great to experience and witness. And then I think the other thing was growing up in a family business. So, you know, I grew up in a family business, and a lot of media and marketing really was surrounding, like, how do we get people to pay attention? How do we get people to understand, like, this is what this product is for, and this is how you use it, and making people and having people build an affinity for it. So I love how media is so broad, but also very simple at the same time. You know, and I huge part of that also comes down to psychology, which is something that I've also really tried to study as best as I can, is really understanding, you know, the human psyche.
And I think you bring up a good point too, like how you guys were creating content and like doing stuff mm-hmm. back then that also helped you see from back then, like what people want to see and what people are kind of interested yeah. in by you doing that. Cause I feel like a lot of times people jump in this space, but they haven't really had that like boots on the ground type thing.
Exactly.
Experience where you're like, no, like I'm talking to my friends and this is like actually mm-hmm. what they're looking for, what they're searching for, and how they use social yeah. and how they use the web. And I think that's like a key thing that a lot of people mm-hmm. miss and don't have.
Yeah. And it's all about testing and it's all about learning. And it's also about, you know, seeing outside of yourself. Because, you know, as humans, we get so wrapped up in our own world and what's happening going on around us that we forget that there's other people out there that are consuming things differently. You know, some people are visual. Some people are, you know, do best with audio. So I think it's really also about putting yourself in these different perspectives and really just understanding how people just in general communicate differently.
And I now want to fast forward to where we are now with SHGU. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
Looking at that, like, how did that concept come about and how was that different from like what was already out there?
Yeah. So how the concept really came up was that, you know, being in a legacy organization, as anybody, you know, I'm sure has been in, especially, you know, that feels a little bit more corporate, is the idea that you can't reinvent yourself. And so with Girls United, what we really wanted to do and what I really wanted to do and the way that I really looked at it was, you see, for so long, like Essence has been around for 50 years and it's spoken to our grandmas, it's spoken to our moms, but in an always on society and digital now making a front and social making a front, what does it mean to, you know, the young woman that doesn't have Essence sitting on her coffee table anymore because everything's digital? So, you know, for me, it was like, how do we now get this next audience invested into what Essence, the legacy of Essence, and also encouraging them to, you know, continue and build their legacy with Essence. So that's how Girls United really got started. It really was, you know, I want young women to also experience what Essence has been able to do for 50 years for Black women, you know, for our culture, for our community. And so it really started with like me rounding up like all of the, you know, everybody in the office on the younger end. And I was like, you know, how do we speak? How do we continue to offer the legacy of Essence and extend it to this audience? And so a lot of it became like a think tank, a brainstorm. I would bring all the interns in and we would just brainstorm, like, what do you guys care about? Like, what are topics that you guys care about? What are things that we don't care about? Like, what are things that also Essence could be doing better, right? Because we really looked at this as like a pipeline, the gateway into Essence, and having it be that place that you can come to, right? Whether it be writers getting their first bylines, you know, or getting their first opportunity to write in print, you know, having the ability to also be on our stages, you know, that you might have not gotten, you know, because Essence is a different audience, right? Like, how do we really create that pipeline so that she's growing up with Essence again?
No, that's so cool. And I like the point where you talked about, like, what do they care about? What do they not care about? And I feel like mm-hmm. that played such a huge role. So that was that kind of like where you all were really making it be like, this is how we're going to differentiate ourselves and really be separate from the others? Because there's so many, I feel like people could be like, oh, but there's so many publications and online spaces for young woman, young Black woman, or however you want to look at it. So was that kind of your guys' driving force of being like, okay, first of all, like, what do we honestly want to talk about?
Yeah. And that has been a really big thing and very pivotal for us has been like, my whole team is like 28 and younger, right? Like, and so we're all just in the audience and we are like, we like to say we are our audience. And so it's become very important for us to lead with that. So even if we're going into meetings, you know, and sometimes we go into meetings and we have to really explain and break down like why we want to do things a little bit differently or why we want to talk about certain topics, why we want to, you know, go into certain, you know, go into certain things, go into certain markets. And so it has been also us being and staking claim in that, right? Like we are our audience. This is what our audience wants, right? We communicate with our audience on the day to day. We study our audience. Our friends are our audience. You know, some of our idols are our audience. So for us, it really was about like, how can we just make sure that we're bringing that perspective every day? Because we're not a whole bunch of, you know, there's a lot of publications, right, that cater or that can cater to a younger audience, but don't reflect that audience and don't have the chemical composition of that audience. So for us, we just try to keep it as real as possible and really make it as relatable to us as possible.
I now want to talk about the social strategy, because your guys' socials, like on Instagram and stuff, is fire. Like, how does, I feel like you guys do such a good job of keeping it with the Essence voice at large, but also, like you said, like making it your own and really relating to the younger audience and really making it feel like you're talking to your best friend or you're automatically already in the group chat and you're just like kind of finding your way. Like, can you explain, can you break that concept down? Cause that's so cool.
And so what I'm very strong with my team on is point of view, having a strong point of view and making sure that how we view things and how we see things is reflected in everything that we do. So how we write on our site, right? We know that people aren't really in this generation, isn't really going to sites anymore, right? They're social, right? That's the top of our funnel. And so on social, we keep it light, we keep it fun, we keep it engaging, and we keep it with this very distinct voice that feeds throughout the brand. And that's how we've been able to really refine our social strategy and really understand and really go after the fact that this is who we are. This is how we show up here. And this is how we're going to continue to show up. So being very strong in that point of view and making sure that, you know, we don't deviate from that. So you can almost know like, all right, this has got to be a post from, you know, Essence Girls United or from Essence. And I love the banter that we even play off with the legacy organization and with Essence is, you know, that intergenerational, you know, auntie, niece that keeps it fresh and young because, you know, we need our aunties. We still love the aunties.
No, that's such, and I feel like that's important too, especially dealing with legacy brands like as Essence, like you want to make sure that it still ties in and that people kind of like where it brings that connection in. Cause like you said, like some people are growing up where they're not going to have like the magazine, like on their coffee table, like we did or whatnot. So you really want to find a way to be like, oh mom, look, I found this, and be like, oh, well yeah, that's Essence. And then kind of like also create that dialogue for them to bring that in. And then also kind of, like you said, reach a new generation that'll soon go on to continue reading and stay with the brand.
Exactly. You know, that's important for us. You know, and I love the banter and it gets really funny sometimes. And, you know, we really poke fun at it just because, you know, the concept and the idea that Essence is an auntie brand, you know, because we also, it's like auntie. And we did this thing at festival where we had like, we called our, you know, our space an auntie free zone. And it was so funny how it just completely like blew up and people were like, oh my God, they hate aunties. And it's like, no, even the concept of an auntie is so funny because we talk about it all the time. Everybody's has an auntie in their friend group, no matter how old you are. Like I know I'm an auntie to some of my friends and I know some of my friends are aunties to me. You know, so it's not really about age, but it's really about like a state of mind. in a state rather than a state of being.
No, that's so true. Like that's true. There's always like the mom in the group, the like fun auntie that, you know, comes with the vibes and then like leaves like quickly.
Yeah. The rich auntie that brings you gifts and then you don't see her.
Literally. Like she always shows up to your birthday, brings the best gifts, like, and then like you'll slip out, won't see her for another till like another at least a year for the next big whoop-de-do.
And that's just your auntie.
Literally. And just think, and that makes me think of like also like with all the different changes and stuff with social, like how do you guys like decide like, oh, this should be a video, or like, oh, this makes more sense as static, or this makes more sense as like pulling from editorial? Like how do you kind of stay on top of kind of like a beat check?
Yeah, so it's really a mixture. And what I like to tell my team as well is that don't build a house on rented land. Social media is rented land. We cannot control the algorithm. We can do our best to game it, but we can't change the algorithm. So our goal is always to utilize social as that top of funnel and getting people into, you know, our own properties, like whether it be newsletter, whether it be our site. But with social, we've been able to really look at data. Data is something that's very important to me. And understanding data in the sense of like what currently is working with the algorithm. We want people to see what we're posting. We want people to have access to, you know, the opportunities, the resources that we're putting out. How do we make sure that we formulate something that speaks to that? Because we can't control the algorithm. And so with social, we've done a great job at realizing and understanding like, okay, this is what our audience likes. This is what they click on. This is what they kiki at. You know, this is what they send and share to their friends and to their audiences. And we really lean into that to make sure that we're, you know, at top of mind, to make sure that we are there, you know, and meeting them where they're at. So a lot of it is a mixture of a whole bunch of things. And sometimes it changes because we know algorithms are hot one day and you think you figure it out. And then the next day you'll be like, what the heck happened? So it's always about testing and learning. And we've really adopted this test and learn model. And I've been fortunate that we can do that because we're such a lean team. So everything on social is testing. We even test conversation topics. You know, we test engagement, like how are people engaging with things that we might see bubbling on social. So it's constantly a test and learn, you know, and we really like love co-creating with our audience as well. Like we'll be like, who do you want to perform at festival, or who do you want to be our next cover star? So it's also that open call and response as well. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's key that a lot of brands and stuff will forget. They'll just constantly be talking at their audience instead of like making it conversational, mm-hmm. Bringing in that community effect, like you said, like asking like, who do you want to see on a cover? Like, who do you want to see? Because I feel like that's something that's also changed in social. Like, I feel like 10 years ago, it might have been where it was like, oh, we just want to follow like Dregs and Day and everybody, but we don't really care. Or we want to follow our favorite pubs. But it's like, now people are like, wait, talk back to us. Like, get in the chats. And like respond and respond back to
like the there's creators, influencers, brands that have millions of followers, but they would not be able to even push selling 3 t-shirts, you know, and it's because there's not that connection, or there's this lack of, I think, human connection that we forget that we're on social media because we crave human connection. So we try to do our best to make it more of a human connection. Like we've even started doing videos of us in the office. You know, we just returned back to office. So we really just want to make it real and personal to people. Like, you know, we're just here having a good time and just want to kiki with you on the internet.
And I will be the first to say that keep the office videos coming. I love the office content. Keep it coming. I'm one of those that people are like, I don't know if we should always publish. Just publish. We want it. Don't question it. Just post it.
More coming.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing.
They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And I now want to switch gears and talk about the SNCU Disruptor Summit. Like, how did that, like, that, because you guys had nothing but heavy hitters, Jody and Jordan Woods, who I think obsessed with them, but I love them so much. They're just everything. So, like, how did that come about? Because that was everything.
So that really came about because during festival, we actually launched our franchise called Partner in Prime. And so Partner in Prime really was based around the fact that so many people, and like you go on TikTok and everybody talks about romantic relationships and it's about how can I find a man? How can I, how can I find a rich man? Sprinkle, sprinkle. How to know if my girlfriend loves me? And like there's been such an emphasis on romantic relationships that people forget that platonic relationships are just as important and just as impactful. And Partner in Prime really was, you know, an ode to that, was the fact that we also have business partners, right, that really push and challenge each other to be the best that they can be. You know, friendships that also push you to be the best that you can be. Sisterhood that can really push you to where you can be. And so it was great to have that conversation because Jordan and Jody are great examples of that, you know, being sisters and also being in the limelight and launching businesses and, you know, also going through the everyday struggles of being a young woman, you know, being somebody that's in the public eye, and having that support system is so important. And so the conversation really came together because also it's like my sister also, I do everything with her, right? Like she's one of the closest people to me and I'm one of the closest people to her. And I think we constantly challenge each other and push each other to be the best that we can be. And so it was kind of like this full circle moment to have like Jordan and Jody and have me and my sister interview them because of that connection, because of that relationship. And because, you know, there's some things that people may never get to experience, whether it be sisterhood or whether it be having somebody that can really be their partner in prime, you know, really helping them level up, really helping them see things in a different way, bring different perspectives to the table with always the goal of making sure that you're the best that you can be. And same for you and making sure that they're the best that they can be. So, you know, that's really what disruptors do, you know, really challenge each other and really, you know, work to disrupt everything around them. So it was very amazing conversation to have them and they just killed it.
No, that was so cool. And then like, just like the, like looking outside of it, like, is this something that like you guys were like, think like the summit idea and concept of it, is this something that you're like, oh, like we would like might want to do in like different cities and stuff? Cause I feel like this is something that like could be its own thing even.
Yeah.
Just the power and magnitude of it.
Yeah. And so with Disruptor Summit being in Atlanta, we had so many HBCU students and we'd activated even on the campus beforehand. And we had young women bring their whole entire groups and clubs to Disruptor Summit. So the need is definitely there. And with us being really that pipeline to Essence, we want to go to other cities. We want to be able to show up in the same way for young women that are in these different markets, you know, that need this, whether encouragement, guidance, resources, opportunities. So our goal is to bring it to other cities in different ways, right? Whether it be small ways and either doing like one of our meetups, you know, or, you know, building it out into this bigger summit that that we already have in Atlanta. Our goal definitely is to bring that in, you know, again, just really meeting the girls where they're at.
Yeah, the girls that get it, get it.
The girls that get it, get it. The ones that don't.
And speaking of which, the GU Creator House at Essence last year, that was my first year at Essence. And I honestly, it was my first year and I did not leave that space. Like, the programming just was so good that I legit, I just stayed in that space the entire time, because there was like the money management one and there were just so many where I was just like looking around like, are you guys taking notes? Like, this isn't just something for like the teens and everything. This is, we all need to be have our like notepads out. Like, it was so cool. And so how do you guys like decide on like that type of like programming and stuff? Because I felt like it was just so just like on the nose of like what was needed.
Yeah. And again, it's just like what we use social for, like testing, right? Like seeing what people like also the questions that everybody has, you know, what are people interested in, and really being able to use that to really develop our programming, especially for festival. Because one thing that people don't really understand about festivals, like Essence Festival is not just a music festival. It is also like the equivalent of like a Cannes Lions of culture. And there have been so many people that have gone to the festival and have been able to network and gotten so many different opportunities, because you have the top marketers in town, you have the top executives in town, you have the top entrepreneurs in town. And so we really wanted to make sure that we were speaking to that and speaking to the fact that this is not just a festival that you come here and you know, you get to listen to a little music, but you also really walk away with things that can change your life. And that's how we really wanted to develop programming and make sure that programming really, really cultivated that. And so that's how we really like dove in and we're like, this is, yes, people come to have a little fun at festival, but also people come to learn, come to be in the same room and rub shoulders with people that they idolize, whether it be other journalists, whether it be other media personalities, whether it be creators, you know, that's really what we wanted to reflect within the programming and making sure that it was things and tangible tools that people can really take with them and use throughout the year. You know, just having festival be that place to do that for them.
No, that's so true. Cause I think at the, like you said, it is like a can, cause at the film part of the festival, like I think I took either screenwriting or script, one of those types of classes. And it was so cool because like there were people from Queen Sugar and other shows that I watched that were in there like giving tips, and people like, it was just so cool to people. One person was like, oh, I'm in New York, I'm working on this play. And somebody like in our workshop was like, hey, like I can help you. Like, I'm also in New York and I've worked on such and such. And just like, it's different than like hearing people say like, oh, I met somebody, but like seeing it happen in real time, I was like, whoa, like this is not just a, I want to hear like WizKid or whatever. Like, this is like careers are getting started and networking and like making actual like connections that are going to go further than like this one weekend.
Exactly. And that's where Gen Z is right now, you know, figuring it out. We just came out of a pandemic and some people have either, you know, only been in the real world during the pandemic, and are looking for, you know, that next opportunity or looking for, you know, different opportunities. And the great thing about especially being in today's world is that you don't have to be confined to a box. And so that's how we also think about everything is that you can be a corporate baddie, but be a content creator, and be into fashion. So how do we kind of make it also a catch-all so that it's reflective of that? Anything from programming to who we have on our stages is a reflection of that and the ability to really be anything and everything you want to be.
And like, I know this year marks the 30th anniversary of the of the Essence Festival, like what's something that you all are expectant for to come out of this year, this summer, like that you want people to take away?
Yes. So I think the fact that Essence Festival, again, is just not a music festival. It is something that has the ability to change careers and change, you know, lives. You know, I think a great example of that is actually was our kickback. So we had our Girls United kickback and we had Flyana Boss perform. I literally emailed their manager. This was right as they were going viral for running through the supermarket and like Disneyland and all this stuff. And I was like, we need them at festival. And so on the spot, I actually went to their LinkedIn bio, emailed their manager, and 2 days before they were like, we pulled it off. They came and they absolutely shut down our creator house. And that was like one of their first really big performances. And then later on that weekend, we got them on stage with Meg Thee Stallion. So they were on the stage with Meg Thee Stallion. And then we also, Missy was headlining at festival last year too. And so we got Flyana Boss to also meet Missy. And then Missy hopped on the remix to their track, You Wish, which was the song that they went viral for. And then they met Janelle Monáe at festival as well. Like all this all happening within that same weekend, within like a span of like 3 days from like when I emailed them and was like, hey, come to festival. And then they went on tour with Janelle Monáe. So that's, you know, what the importance of being at a festival is, and especially Girls United, like what our importance is making sure that we're creating that space for people to really develop in and get their entry point into Essence, but also get their entry point into essentially whatever they want to do or wherever they want to go. So for me, that's like a great example of, you know, what we want to continue to do, especially as Essence approaches 30 years. You know, if we're thinking about what's the next 30 years look like. You know, we've gotten to 30 years. What's the next 30 years? Mm-hmm. Who's the next 30 years? Whether it be artist, entertainer, you know, a girl that's trying to figure it out, that just graduated college or is about to graduate college or has been graduated from college. So our goal really is to continue that and really give those opportunities to, you know, people that need them, that just need a shot or just need a chance. And, you know, I think that's really how we make festival and what makes festival what it is.
No, I know for this year, you don't have to confirm, but I know I want I want Destiny's Child. I want I want Zendaya doing a performance at the Creator House as her return.
Listen, Zendaya, I would.
Listen, that's what.
Zendaya needs to get back in her music bag.
If she did.
She has missed.
Listen, if she did, the pop girlies would be on mute.
That's a powerful woman right there.
She's doing
triple threat.
She's doing them a favor by not being in the studio right now.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Because
100%,
she could take the throne back if she wanted to.
But she's just like, I'm gonna stick with acting, and I'm gonna look good too while I do it. But if Zendaya really got back in the studio, it would be over. Some of these girls might need to pack up their bags and just go.
I'd be like, there's nothing left for you to do. Speaking of which, I just had an idea. I think the reason why I think Beyonce and Destiny's Child would make sense is because Beyonce's hair care line comes out February 20th, Sacred. And it would be really cool if you guys do like a Sacred X Beyonce thing and then kind of like talk about like the history of like natural hair and like styling it and the history and how to like bring natural hair care to the workplace and like have Sacred be a co-sponsor for that panel and talk about that. So I'm just putting stuff out there.
You got some great guesses.
Like, I'm just saying somebody could be taking notes. I'm giving out free brand partnership ideas.
I mean, and it is Beyonce. I mean, Beyonce is the greatest of all time. Not many girls are doing it like her. Like I was actually, as thinking about like Essence Festival and thinking about, you know, star power, there's so few people that have star power these days. And what I mean, and this is not to knock anybody, because I'm definitely not doing that, but You know, give me drama, give me music, give me vocals, give me performance, give me mystery, most importantly. You know, I want to be like, I want to wonder what this person, like Beyoncé. We don't know what Beyoncé eats every single day. We don't know anything about her. We don't know anything about her. But we know when she gets up on that stage, she has all of our attention. We know when something drops from Beyoncé, we're all gagged. So that's what I really want us to like identify, like who are those next big it superstars? And that's really where I want Festival to go. I want us to be that, you know, that brand that like, yes, we pay homage to the legacy and, you know, these legendary artists, but who's the next pop star? Who's the next it girl, right? Like who's going to be the future of music?
No, that's so true. When you said that, I thought of Coco Jones, who she's been in the game. Coco. She's not new, but she's been in the game. The girls are just now tuning in, but she's been here.
Yeah, like I want everybody to catch up to what we're like, doing.
Like, I was like, y'all need to catch up because literally everybody was there. Like I was telling like friends and stuff. I was like, you guys, Essence GU is the blueprint. Like, the stuff that
forever
like,
the blueprint.
Like from programming to social, just. It's stuff that I feel like transit, like, I remember, I forgot which panel it was, but there was like one panel, I think it was with those two athletes, and one of the parents in there was with their daughter, and she's like, oh, what advice do you have? And like, she was like, hey, parents, like you and your kids, like have these discussions, like, don't just discourage them from like chasing a dream, like ask them, like, she like kind of created a space where it wasn't like attacking the parents. Would be like, hey, like, let's have the, like have this dialogue with amongst yourselves too. Like, don't just be like, hey, you're a star. You're out here doing it. What should I do? What should I be doing for my child? She's like, no, talk to your daughter. Like, how can you guys get on the same page? And it's like stuff like that transcends like what can be online. Like from that moment, like this girl and her mom were able to have like that discussion of like, hey, like I actually want to be a creator and do this and that. And it's like, I feel like GU just creates that space for it's like for everybody, boys, girls, men, women, to have just like discussions that go beyond like the pages and like what's on social.
Exactly. And that open dialogue and just encouraging that. And we've also been able to build a really, you know, respectful audience that is also respectful of how other people view the world, because everybody is shaped by different experiences, different environments. And I think we've built a very tolerant and really respectful audience that's able to acknowledge and also appreciate those different perspectives and have these open dialogue conversations and also encourage other people to have them. And, you know, that's something that we like try to bottle up and like bring to any in real life event or anything that we're doing, because it's like there's very few, again, that really just keep that open. That open communication, that open dialogue, you know, that open group chat, and to facilitate that is always our goal.
No, because I remember leaving the financial security one, and I was like, you guys, she just shook us, and I got to get it together. I'm like, I got to wake up. I was like, I got to get. Literally, she was like, this was, and the way she did it wasn't like in the typical like y'all are doing it wrong. It was like as if like your friend like was like, hey, like let me sit you down and like tell you like let's elevate, like let's, this is what we can do to do better. Like it wasn't in a way that anybody I felt in the audience felt like attacked. It was like a, hey, like if I can do it, anybody in this room can do it, and like here, let's lean in and like help each other like get to that next level, because we can't do this forever. And I was just like, dang, like let me like I mean, it's been how many months since then, and I'm still thinking about that session. I'm like, she really
sometimes I'll be like, you know, we'll post something or we'll say something, whether it be about like financial security or like whatever it may be, and I'll tell my team and be like, why are y'all coming for me today? Like, what did I do to you guys?
Because it wasn't that she snatched her awake, she took it off slowly. It was like a gentle pull.
Like a little pew back, and then all next thing you know. Like.
And I'm like, why do I feel a breeze at the top of my head? And for my last question, like one thing I feel like you guys really didn't, we touched on earlier, was just like really making Gen Z's voice heard. Like, what's advice that you have for those who are listening that have, that are legacy brands that have like something like a SNGU that have like a newer and younger brand to themselves, but are trying to integrate Gen Z's voice more in the conversations in the boardrooms and in the different meetings. Like what would you tell them?
Yeah, I think there's this misconception that Gen Z is lazy. Gen Z is not lazy. I think they're actually very hungry. I think it's about framing things and framing conversations and framing things in a way that makes them feel empowered. I think the biggest thing is feeling empowered. I think when you go into especially a legacy organization, I think the pressures of it being a legacy organization can also get to people. So I think it's about encouraging them to speak up, encouraging them to participate, encouraging them to bring their point of view, bring their perspectives, and giving them the freedom to do that. Also kind of just really dispelling the fact that making mistakes, like the learning is part of, you're going to make mistakes. And one thing that I've even, you know, really big on is like, I want us to fail fast. Like anything we do, testing, learning, fail fast and fail quickly so that you can see and you can pivot and you can always adjust. And so I think giving the ability and the freedom and the room for Gen Z also to make those mistakes so that, you know, as an organization, you can learn and learn fast and learn quickly. But really making sure that there is a seat at the table for them and encouraging them to use their voice, even if it's something that might not be very popular. You know, maybe it's a little bit risque or whatever, but at least giving them the ability to make that or to have that freedom and make those mistakes. That's how I would really encourage organizations to utilize Gen Z, because of the different perspectives that they bring, because of the different way of doing things. You know, and I think the ideas, the creativity, I think the ability that they've had to grow up on the internet, to grow up with digital, to grow up with knowing almost all of these different things that might not even be connected, but in some way are correlate. You know, even inviting them into different meetings, no matter their tenure, no matter, you know, where they're at on, no matter where they're at in their position, really encouraging them to also be in these different types of meetings and be in a meeting with, like, I have my team experience meeting with the sales team, knowing what the sales team is looking at, what's out in market, you know, meeting with the marketing team so that they understand that anything that we do or anything that we want to do, we have to have an understanding of how it also folds into the bigger picture of how the organization works, how all of these different teams work. And what we found is that actually has been and allowed us to produce a better product, allowed us to think in a more holistic way. So I think also giving them the ability to also play and kind of experience these different departments, experience what goes on throughout the whole entire organization, so that all of these thoughts and all of these ideas are really looked at from a more holistic perspective that can further, you know, the company, that can really further the work that everybody is doing. So definitely encourage that. You know, I think that's been something that we've learned that we've been able to do, is that in a lot of ways, we've actually been able to influence the legacy organization more so even than the other way around, has been because of our ability to be in these different meetings to speak up or to say, hey, like, I think we should do things this way, or I think that we could do things that way. I think we should, these are the types of conversations we should be having. So, you know, giving them the ability to also, you know, influence the legacy of these brands is also what I also encourage people to do as well.
No, that's true. Like, you can't just be like, oh, we want to reach new audiences. And it's like, you got to let them also, mm-hmm. like, why are you somebody who's like 85 talking about, like, I want to reach the babies, and
yeah,
you don't have a baby at the table.
Yeah, you don't want the babies to, you don't want the babies to goo goo gaga. Yeah.
I can't. I'm dead. Rochelle, thank you so much for being here today. This was so fun.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Wow, how great was this episode? If you were like me, you probably took a lot of notes and have a lot of questions and comments. So if you do, feel free to add us at AdWeek across Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias. And we'd love to hear from you all. And feel free to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. That always helps us. And we can't wait to hear from you all and see you in the next episode. So bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to Young Influentials, part of the AdWeek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Arend, and edited by Lane McGibney at Bountiful Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all AdWeek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things AdWeek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at AdWeek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code AdWeek, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.